creating cultural awareness and understanding. This is Culture Click. Culture Click is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University.
Today on Culture Click, we address a subject we haven't before, female powerlifting and physique competition. This local Winonan owns two of her own personal businesses, competes at national events, and can bench 155 pounds, which is 20 pounds above her own weight at age 43. Today, we'll find out what it takes to train as a power lifter and to motivate others who seek the same or similar goals. You're listening to Culture Click. Today, we have a special guest who you might know because she runs her own business called Peace Out Clothing in downtown Winona, but she also has another thing that she does called personal training, and she actually does weight training as well. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Caroline Wilson, and I own Peace Out Clothing Company on 3rd and Lafayette, and I also own Pro Fitness Personal Training, and I train down at the Boardwalk.
Great. First off, let's get started with, where did the interest in personal training and weight training, competition, when did all that start for you?
Well, I was smoking and drinking and decided before I turned 40 that I had to make some lifestyle changes. And I was starting to get a little bit heavy. I quit smoking, I quit drinking, and I started eating clean, exercising, and found out that my body really made changes in the physique aspect of it with heavy lifting.
Where did you get the idea for heavy lifting?
I was reading about weight training because I was interested in Charles Poliquin, who is a trainer for Olympians, and that's how I got interested in it. And when I started weight training, that's when I saw the changes in my physique, and that's what I wanted to do. Cardiovascular training was not my thing. My body did not respond as well to it. Building the muscle, that's what my body responded to the best.
Well, it's true. Everybody has a different body type, yep. Right? Mm-hmm. And some people are built for running. Some people are built for weight training.
Yes.
Some people are built for biking.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's what your passion is, too. So my passion was to totally change my physique, strength. I knew I was naturally strong anyway. And so the weight training, I found it just enhanced that strength.
Great. So when you first started, was it painful?
You know, the soreness and the muscle fatigue, I liked. I know that sounds funny, but it was actually like almost an adrenaline or a high for me, knowing that I made some good muscle progress or, you know, damage to the muscle. I know that sounds bad, but you do. You do micro tears to the muscle to help build. So when I'm sore, I know that my body is making changes. And when I'm not sore, I get kind of frustrated. So, but it's a learning process, you know. You learn your body and you know how much you can tolerate.
How do you know when to just kind of sustain where you're at versus when you want to keep growing? Like, are you always in process of furthering yourself?
I am, just not with education, but different types of weight training. I do change my workouts a lot just because I'm older and my body can't handle the same routines because it's prone to injury. And especially with powerlifting and bodybuilding, you really have to do that change in your program frequently, probably more so than just somebody doing some basic weight training.
So would that be like every 2 weeks instead of every month?
I would say monthly. I would change my routine. So like maybe 1 week I'll do metabolic resistance training, which is strength training and cardio, but it's just not cardio. You use weights and your body weight. So it's kind of like a rest period for my body because I'm not actually doing heavy lifting. And then that week of the metabolic resistance training, I take 72 hours of doing nothing. So no gym, eating high healthy fats, resting my body, and then the following week I hit it really heavy and we do some powerlifting weight training because I do powerlift, so I do bench competitions, and so we do like a 5-3-1 training.
Let's talk about these competitions, because normally you don't see those in Winona, so I assume you have to travel for those.
Yes.
Okay. And what exactly happens at these competitions? What percentage of people are women?
Well, with the powerlifting, there is 95% men and probably 3 to 5% of women. The last bench competition I did was 2 weeks ago, and there was 3 women.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you placed first, right?
I placed first. I did not hit a PR, which is my personal best. I benched 140, and I attempted 150, but did not get that. Jumped some commands, because they give you commands. My personal best has been 155.
Oh, wow, that's great. You could bench a person.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My body weight plus 20 pounds.
Awesome. Now, getting back to these competitions, we were talking about that only like 3 to 5% are usually women. What's that like for you going into a competition environment?
It's actually absolutely a blast because your adrenaline is going, and the guys, I call them the guys, they're just amazing. They're so supportive, and they're actually excited to see the other half come in and, you know, lift heavy and just power lift with them. But I think it takes a certain personality, because it is a man's sport, and hopefully that will change, but it's just a great sport. It really is. You just have to train safely and eat healthy and be very knowledgeable on powerlifting.
So you've never felt threatened or anything
Absolutely
of that nature?
Not. Very supportive and very excited that they are so accepting for a woman to come in and attempt to do not even a half what they lift, you know, because we can't lift 320, bench 320. There's just no way. When you do 150, 175, I mean, they're just patting you on the back and, you know, say, just keep doing what you're doing. So
when you say we can't bench, you mean women, right?
Correct.
Okay. And why is that?
I just think we don't have the muscle mass, you know, that's how
it's the anatomy.
It's the anatomy. Exactly. But we can be strong in our own way.
So let's talk a little bit about more about your physique, right?
Okay.
And because if people look at you, you got clothing on, they might not necessarily say or notice how buff you are. Let's talk about the physique and how you describe it.
Yeah. The physique is 80% nutrition and 20% the workouts. So when you are training, yes, you know, lift heavy, you do your cardio, but it is everything you put in your mouth. So with my bodybuilding competitions and my figure competitions, those are spread all over the United States. And I wish Winona would bring one down here or lacrosse. But anyway, the bodybuilding, you get in an itsy bitsy teeny weeny bikini and you go on stage and you do the walk and you pose certain poses, front bicep, back, quads. And there's judges that judge you and your physique and your presentation on stage. Then they call out the winners. The last bodybuilding show I did and figure competition was last October. And that's very taxing on your metabolism and mental. So I do just do those like once a year. Powerlifting I'll do whenever I can because I'm training all the time with that anyway. So, yeah.
How is that taxing?
The bodybuilding diet nutrition program is very super clean. I mean, you eat your carbs in the morning and your fats in the mid-afternoon, and then in the evening you do just like egg whites and spinach. And so it's very balanced with your body weight and the calorie intake. And you're drinking lots of water. It's a cutting stage where you're cutting body fat constantly. So you lose about 1 to 2 pounds a week. It depends on your nutrition.
Right.
So you want to get that muscle definition. But yeah, I placed first or second place with the bodybuilding and third with the figure.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and so. Are there a lot of people that attend these when you go? Or?
Yeah, there's, it depends how many, but in the women's bodybuilding, there's very few. Again, that's more men because women don't have that muscle mass, so they do more figure competitions.
What's the age group spread for the women?
I would say between the ages of 22 to up to 60.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are in like master's class, which would be like over the age of 40, and that would be like my class. And then they have like sub-masters, which is over the age of 30. So they do put you in divisions because it's more fair that way. I mean, I would never stand up to a 20-year-old.
I don't know. I could probably take out half of them over at the gym.
Oh, but yeah, so the bodybuilding and the figure competitions are more of just a diet
based type thing.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can see that being really hard because in the evening you want to eat everything.
Yes, everything.
Yeah.
And when you're working out and lifting heavy, you know, your body is craving those fats and those carbs, and you have to remember to eat them at a certain timing. So your carbs come before your workout and after your workout. Yeah, it's just a whole program for 20 weeks because you diet down for about 20 weeks.
Wow, that's a long time.
It
too.
Is. And then you kind of tend to get grouchy the last 4 to 6 weeks.
I'm sure your husband loves that.
Oh, yeah. We don't go there.
I was going to ask you, because there is bodybuilding for just physique, right? And then there is bodybuilding for strength.
Correct.
So you kind of lie in both areas.
Yes. So the bodybuilding for muscle mass and look is maybe a little different than for strength training. However, recently, the judges for bodybuilding shows are starting to judge your physique as overall conditioning.
Okay.
So this is a new thing coming up. And so now conditioning is really classified with some strength training too, and really healthy appearance, not just the bulk and the big muscles. It's the, do you look strong too? So that's kind of a new area going in with the bodybuilding. Before it used to be just kind of like, oh, how big, who's bigger?
Right.
And who's more defined? But I've noticed that they're starting to say overall conditioning. So that's some strength training in there.
I was having this discussion with other people is that you can look strong, but being strong is something completely different.
Yes. So with like bodybuilding contests and competitions, when you're actually on stage, you're probably at your weakest point because you are carb depleted. Things are changing with the nutrition and diet with that. However, they usually cut some water, so you shed water, and so you're dry. So the skin stays nice and tight against the muscle, so there's more definition. It's a whole process. But the strength of the bodybuilder is probably the weakest point when they're on stage, and they get fatigued very easily when they're doing their presentation on stage. But nowadays, I think strength is probably more important.
Right.
You know?
In the long run, too.
In the long run, yeah.
You're married, right?
Correct.
Okay. And is your partner in life in the same fitness routine that you are?
No. He's very healthy. He eats clean. he's strong, but he does not train for anything. Once in a while, I make him do like a 5K or something. He doesn't do anything serious. So my eating and my nutrition and my exercises, it's all focused on me. So when we go grocery shopping, I have a list and we basically know what we're going to buy and that's it. He sometimes will sneak something in that he likes, but yeah, no trigger foods in the house. And trigger foods are like something that you can't eat just one of.
So, oh, like Pringles.
Oh yeah. Or Sun Butter or M&Ms. You know? No, it's illegal in my house to have any trigger foods.
So what do you do when you do have a craving?
I drink lots of water and I usually try to keep myself busy. The thing is, my body is so clean that I don't really have a lot of cravings. I think my biggest downfall is caffeine. And so I do drink my coffee, but I don't do like monster drinks or any, you know, drinks like that. But I keep it very clean and I don't go out to eat. We eat a lot of veggies and chicken, keep it real clean.
Now, when you say clean eating, there's different levels of it. Can you describe what clean eating is to you?
Yes, clean eating is no preservatives, some organic. I know that organic eating is very expensive, so, and I can't even afford that. I cook everything. I bake chicken, boil chicken breast, I steam my veggies, eat them raw. Salad dressings, I stay away from. I use healthy fats like olive oil, vinegar for my dressings. I do fresh fruits. I don't do a lot of frozen vegetables. I try to stay with fresh. No canned. I don't do anything canned. I don't add salt or flavorings to my cooking. It is very simple. My biggest thing that I do eat is like steamed cabbage and turkey, and you can put red pepper flakes on it.
Yeah. So you can season it that way.
Oh, yeah. But I don't do any like package seasonings.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
With maltodextrin or anything
right.
like that. So my body is very sensitive to those additives anyway. So I try to stay away from them.
And it's kind of a challenge because you have to read labels then all the time.
Yes. However, I don't really read labels anymore because I kind of know exactly what to eat. It's fresh veggies, fruits, chicken, and I do red meat like 2 times a week, but the red meat is not hamburger. It's like a roast.
Okay.
But yeah.
Now, how was it for your family to adjust to these changes that you've made? Because I'm sure like there are gatherings, right?
There is.
So how was that handled?
Well, my family doesn't live here, but my husband has 8 siblings. So when we do have family get-togethers, it's pies and crock pots full
of course.
Of food.
Yeah.
And their family has been raised around lots and lots of food. It's very hard for me to walk away. So I do allow myself like a cheat meal.
Right.
I don't do a cheat day. So around the holidays, I don't beat myself up. I eat what I want with family and friends and enjoy myself. But I do go back the next day to my clean eating. And sometimes that's actually harder because I'm so sluggish. And my body is like, what have you done?
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's all a lifestyle. But I'm more on the extreme side just because I train for competitions. You know, the person that doesn't do competitions, I say just, you know, eat very healthy and watch your labels.
Okay. You do have the competition side, like you said, so it is different for you than it
Correct.
Would be for the average person
mm-hmm.
who might be trying to do a bodybuilding.
Right.
Was there any pushback from when you made your lifestyle change from anybody, or were you met with encouragement?
I was met with encouragement. However, I have experienced people who have kind of turned away from me as a friend because their lifestyle is so different than mine. And I have found that I have left friends also because they don't live the type of healthy lifestyle that I need to do for myself. So it goes both ways. But I haven't really experienced like super negative stuff or, I mean, I've actually experienced probably more positive just because people will approach me in the gym and ask me about diet and exercise. And I always try to stay away the word diet just because I think that's a negative. It's just health and lifestyle.
Something you told me in passing when I was at your store a week or two ago was that insurance is actually more for you because of your pursuit of this.
Yes. My husband and I have been looking into, we're both business owners, and so we have to pay for our own insurance, and we were looking into cheaper insurance. We went through the questionnaires and all that kind of stuff, and I'm 43 and 132 pounds and a six pack. And I was considered high risk because I power lift. So don't ever tell an insurance company that you exercise or lift heavy because, or keep it very vague that you exercise, but don't say lift heavy or powerlifting, because now I'm high risk for injury, and they have put our premium. I mean, I'm like high. Yeah, it's expensive. I'm like, shoot, you know, but that's.
Which I think is ridiculous.
It is, because my labs are awesome, and my heart rate is, you know, 50 at, you know, resting, and I'm healthy, but that's just how it is.
It's unfortunate.
But they'll pay for, you know, gastric bypass and diabetic care, and I totally understand that. But I think the healthy will always be the example. Costly, too. So they got to get their cost, I guess. So
it's odd. It's an odd system.
It's very odd. Okay. Yeah. Because I thought, oh, we're going to be like, you know, because my husband's over 50 and he's in great condition.
I've seen him. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You both are active at the Y. How much time do you think you spend in the gym on the week on an average?
I would say at least 1 hour a day. When I am training, 2 hours a day.
Okay. All right.
An hour in the morning and an hour in the evening. I do split training so my body can recoup and I don't get injuries.
Is that better for most people in general if you're like a two different exercise person a day to split it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I just think it's healthier on the body. So when you do like a type of split training, you know, you could do chest and then in the morning, you know, chest and delts, and then in the evening do like legs and then take a day off. And then the next day do like back and biceps and abs. So you can split it up and then some cardio or metabolic resistance training. So this week I'm having fun because I'm doing my metabolic resistance training. So it's the strength training and the cardio mixed together, and I keep it at about 45 minutes to an hour a day, and then I get 3 days off, and then it's heavy lifting. So
do you get like anxious during the 3 days off?
I do.
Okay.
I'm horrible. I'm awful. And then my husband's like, oh, she needs to go to the gym.
Get out of the house.
Yeah. But I get very excited on the third day because I know on the fourth day, I'm going to just kill it with the heavy lifting. And it's a kind of a psychological resting too, because your CNS, your central nervous system is just so pumped up for training so hard, so long that you need to take 7 to 10 days and just kind of sit back.
You bring up a good point with mental. How much of this is a mental game? How much of this is a mental game when you go into it to keep focused and keep pushing forward? Because I know for some people, it's a real struggle to increase, let's say, running. Mm-hmm. And like, you just want to quit.
It's a lot of mental. However, I think that if you have the passion and you have seen the response and change in your physique and your health and wellness in life, that it takes less mental to get up and do it because you know, oh, this is just part of my routine and part of my life, and I do it. You know, it's the days where it's off and you don't feel like doing it. You know, you ate kind of bad the last day, and then you have to get your head in the game again and say, you know what, I messed up. I got to just fix this and do it. So I would say that it's a lot of mental. You know, it's day in and day out. I think about it all the time to go to the gym and work out.
So your body craves it.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you don't work out and you're used to it, yes, your body actually, I feel like it starts twitching and needs to be active.
Gotcha. Now, you had mentioned something also the other day when I bumped into you, that there was old school powerlifting, mm-hmm. right? Or
old school powerlifting
versus new school.
Yeah. It was very interesting on this last bench meet because the old school powerlifting always talked about or always did like high fats, not the healthy fats. We're talking like McDonald's, bring a bag of McDonald's to the meet, eat a hamburger, the very unhealthy way, because the more body weight you have, they think you can press more, which is true to a point. However, you can eat very healthy and still bench a lot of weight. So like this last meet, 3/4 of the guys were like the heavy, almost obese weight. And then the new
generation?
Yeah. I mean, they're lean and they're muscular. They look amazing and their stamina is just out of this world, really, because I was watching them and they had less rest and they were more active. They warmed up more than the old school power lifters. They just had more stamina. And I think that's more the way it's gonna go. Leaner, you know, less body fat. So yeah, it's very interesting. I'm new to power lifting, but this is what I have found out and have witnessed and experienced.
What is the end goal for you with the weight training, do you think?
To stay very strong, I think in the end, strength and muscle mass is what's going to help you get in and out of that shower when you are 80 years old. The muscle holds up our skeletal, and cardio is healthy, but you can do cardio with strength training, and I just think the muscle mass is the best bet in the end, and to stay mobile. You know, mobile to be able to walk and bend and lift our daily living as we age. And hopefully we can stay healthy that way.
And be less of a bother to our family and friends later on down the road. Get mommy out of the bathtub.
Yeah.
How do you balance owning your own business with everything, with the personal training too?
Well, my store hours are from noon to 6 p.m. So I train early in the mornings or in the evenings. And Jim Heron, the owner of the Boardwalk, I do a lot of training there with my clients. And he's got great hours. So, and then I have employees too. I always make sure the personal training is my passion. So when someone calls me and schedules an appointment with me, that is my priority.
Okay.
So, yeah. And then I just find somebody to watch the store.
So I assume in order to help other people become a better them, mm-hmm. right, you have to have a certification of some sort.
Correct. I have a certification in personal training. It just gives me permission to train. It's not like a degree. I don't have a nutrition degree. It's just like a 3-month course of certification on how to lift correctly, cardiovascular for the age, you know, your body weight and all that. So my biggest thing is nutrition and lifting heavy. That's my specialty. And a lot of the training came from friends who do powerlifting and weight training all the time in the past. That's how I kind of got into, I need to get certified and all that. So my goal someday, I'm hoping this will be my future goal, is to actually get a degree in personal training. And the thing is, I don't know if I want to commit 4 years of my life to schooling when I'm already doing the thing that I absolutely love. But if anybody's interested in doing that, go for it.
Something else I wanted to ask you, how do you keep track of how you're doing workout-wise, calorie-wise, nutrition-wise? Do you have any apps you use or things of that nature that you'd like to share?
Yes. I actually, when I am in intense training, I actually use MyFitnessPal.com because it's a phone app, it's free, and you can just type in and click and you're done. And you can customize it to your macronutrients. So like if I'm supposed to eat 150 grams of protein a day, 150 grams of carbs, and 50 grams of fat, I can enter all my stuff in there and be within 3 to 4 grams. And that's what you want. You want to stay within 3 to 4 grams of what your nutrition is. So when I do train my clients for just weight loss, I do put them on fitnesspal.com and I set up a nutrition program and customize it for them. And I tell them exactly how many, I mean, they can eat whatever they want as long as they're in those macros.
And sometimes that's trial and error too.
Oh, for sure. Yep. But it's a teaching tool for them to say, oh, I can't have that brownie because that brownie put me way over on my carbs. And then they actually can see that that brownie didn't sustain them like that piece of chicken did. So it is very educational.
Right. Cool. Are there any kind of food helpful hints you have or substitutions?
Well, like supplements. I do take supplements for recovery. I do all natural. I don't do anything that's really bad for your system. Now, sports product line is fabulous because they don't have fillers and they are clean. And I do whey protein. I do branched chain amino acids for my recovery. Oh, I do vitamin C for after my workouts, omegas for after my workouts, because I try to get my body back into homeostasis because it's so broken down and torn up after my workouts. I really try to love it. And I do a lot of green tea from a local business here in town. I just brew up some tea and sip it. And I really think green tea helps me with my recovery.
Okay, so, yeah, because it's also metabolic as well.
It is, yep. And I got to be really careful on my metabolism because I am over 40, and so anything that damages it, it doesn't repair fast. So I really have to eat like every 2 hours to keep the fire burning and stay healthy and clean.
Thanks for the tips. Sometimes people are always like, well, I wonder what she uses.
Yeah.
I wonder what so-and-so uses.
Yeah, there's no magic pill.
No.
No, it's called me. Dedication, commitment, and, you know, you need to decide when it's a change. You need to make a change in your life. We're all young, and then we start aging, and we start seeing changes in our bodies and our minds and our mobility and our flexibility. And when you start making those positive change, that all comes back.
How do people get a hold of you other than finding you out at the Peace Out Clothing?
They can give me a call on my cell phone, 507-313-1549, or contact the Boardwalk on 3rd Street, and they can take a message for me, and I'll get back to you within a few hours.
You also have a Facebook for it, too,
right?
Oh,
yeah, I do. Pro Fitness Personal Training of Winona, and that's my Facebook, or you can even contact me through the Peace Out Clothing Company one, too.
I think in closing, the overall message is health, right?
Correct, yeah.
And I think some people get off track when they first start, because we're going into the new year here, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, I don't see results right away, and they just, you know, gone.
You know, we're so impatient and we don't treat our bodies well anyway, most of us. I would say slow weight loss, enjoy what you're doing, and don't hate your nutrition plan or exercise program. You need to love it or leave it and find something else that works for you. Because if you don't love it or like it, it's not going to work for you. And that's just a big fail. So if you like running, then stay with running. If you like heavy lifting or metabolic resistance training, stay with what your passion is and what works well for you. The eating part, is basically the same for everybody. It's fruits and vegetables and proteins and healthy fats. And, you know, try not to eat fast food and lots of sweets. So,
but don't totally deprive yourself either.
Don't deprive yourself. That's right. Enjoy life and family and friends and food. We're a culture made of it.
Food. We're in the Midwest.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Well, thanks for taking time.
Sure.
A big thank you goes out to Caroline Wilson for sharing with us her passion today on Culture Click. More information on Caroline Wilson can be found on Facebook at Pro Fitness Personal Training and at Peace Out Clothing. You've been listening to Culture Click.
Creating cultural awareness and understanding. You've been listening to Culture Click. Support for Culture Click is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Culture Click is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information, look us up on the web at kqal.org. And thanks for listening to Culture Click.